You need a bad operation. Give me the scissors. Hammer. Flame.
It's a daily operation. Cubicle.
Operating correctly.
The time is 5 p.m. and now you're leaving your cubicle.
Operating correctly.
It's a daily operation. Cubicle.
Operating correctly.
The time is 5 p.m. and now you're leaving your cubicle.
Operating correctly.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Operation Cubicle. This is episode 161, and this show's topic is the feeling algorithm. Now, this is the show where we take one topic and we look at it from both the corporate and the geeky sides as business and personal. My name is Asian Jackson. I'm broadcasting to y'all live out of Milwaukee, and I'm joined as usual by my wonderful co-host, JP Fairfield. How you doing, JP?
What's up? I'm super happy.
Oh, you're super happy. Is there happiness like going on? Like can you infect me with some of this happiness? Because
I can try. I mean, my happiness is giving my 2 weeks' notice because I have a new job.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
I mean, you already did that like twice over, so you should have left over happy, Sharif.
See, you know what? I think I lost some of my happy because, you know, like we're like recording this on a Monday and Mondays at work. It's just, I'm a total Garfield when it comes to Mondays. Like, I am not a Monday fan. Like, it doesn't matter how good the workday goes or whatever. I did have one awesome thing that happened today, though. So my girlfriend and I like decided to go to this diner that we usually go to for brunch, but we decided to go for dinner right after work. And this place had like the best like meatloaf I feel like I've ever had. And I'm not really a big meatloaf fan, but that's like their main dish. And apparently like they've been on these TV shows or whatever for their meatloaf. It was like bacon wrapped meatloaf in this like amazing sauce, and it was so good. So if you're ever on the east side of Milwaukee, definitely check out Comet and get the meatloaf. Bacon wrapped meatloaf. It's fire.
My God.
Yeah, it was so good. And like it like also had like these garlic mashed potatoes and like Brussels sprouts, you know, as the sides. It just all went together really well. Like, it wasn't too like filling, like, even though it definitely looked like a lot of food, but I didn't eat it and feel like I was gonna pass
okay,
out, you know.
So I have more questions about this bacon wrap. So
sure.
Was the bacon wrapped around it crispy or like?
It wasn't really crispy. It was about the same consistency as a meatloaf. So like it was definitely cooked, mm-hmm. but like everything had the same consistency to it. So like it was like you could definitely see the bacon, mm-hmm. But like nah, it wasn't like crispy like you would make it if you were making it, you know, with like eggs or something like that. Mm-hmm. But like just the mix of taste and stuff like that, it was amazing. And like I just had this big smile on my face while I was eating it, and my girlfriend was like, "What the hell is wrong with you?" Like, it was good, you know.
Just be good.
Yeah. And like I can't remember the last time I've ordered meatloaf at a restaurant, because usually, to me, it sounds like a very boring like dish. And I also think I'm have some baggage because my mom used to make it, and I wasn't the biggest fan of it when she made it. So I think I tend to think to like have like scars like from that too. Meatloaf and liver were two things that she would make that I was not a fan of. Everything else I loved, but those two things, I'm even when I think about it, I'm like kind of like, man, I don't want that shit. You had any good restaurant meals lately? JP,
see, your first question should be, have I left the house?
Have you left? I mean, you could have delivery. you could have delivery. Like, that counts as a restaurant meal.
Okay, second question is, do I have a reason to leave the house? Because my mom cooked me stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now we're talking. Right. Now we're talking.
She's,
so like,
yeah, she's on this kick where she like makes all her meals in advance, and she makes like her own like TV dinners.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Huh. So like she has these little containers with like the three partitions in it, and she, you know, put her veggies and her, you know,
wow,
and stuff. That's... Yeah. So I was like, let me get in on this. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I just give her $25 and, you know, to help with her grocery bill.
Yeah, that's really nice of you, because I feel like most kids would just be like, thank you, Mom, and just take that shit. Yeah, well, that's really nice of you for...
No, it wasn't give, nice. She was like, so are you going
to... Oh, okay, so it wasn't out of the goodness of your heart.
She was like...
It was more like a straight financial transaction.
Right. She's like, so are you going to kick some cash up here? I was like, how much you want, Mom? I don't care. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling that I should do that with my mom, because like almost every time I see her, like she make like I love like her apple pie, and she usually makes me one. But I mean, if we're going to the store together to buy the ingredients, then I'll buy them. But I'm never like, yo, can you make me an apple pie, and I'll give you like this much money for the ingredients. You know, like I should probably start offering that. You know, maybe I'll get more apple pies out of it. I don't know. Because she buys like everything just for the apple pie, you know, like it's not things that she would normally use for other stuff. So
yeah, I mean, I get, like for $25, I think I get like at least like 10 little individual meals.
Oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I thought you meant like, oh wow, 25 for that many. Wow.
Yeah, because like if she's only buying for me and her, and she usually like, I don't know, this lady chops like for the best deal. So and she'll make a big batch, and she'll make like, you know, five will be of this item and five will be of another item. Well, actually she makes like 10 of one, 10 of another, and she'll split it between us both.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. You got your own little dinner thing you can put in the microwave, yep. Put in the freezer or whatever. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. The last meal that she did was coincidentally meatloaf.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, turkey meatloaf, and it had like, you know, the caramelized onions on top of it. Then she did fried chicken, and then she also did like spaghetti with the Italian sausage. So, yeah.
That's great. That is fantastic. I'm so jealous.
I'm so happy.
That's awesome. Yeah. You got a new job. You got food just being delivered to you in TV dinners. Like, you got it made.
Right.
You're living that life right now.
Right. All I do is text her. I was like, Mom, so.
You have the text delivery service?
Right. I was like, when you go to the stove, when I have to run you $25, so.
That is amazing. You are definitely on top of the world right now. That is so cool. Yeah, so if you want to hear more of our views on TV dinners, you could go to operationcubicle.net. Check out the previous shows. About the last 50 or 60 or so are up there. So you might be able to get some in the 90s. I think that's the earliest that's up there now. You know, which is crazy to think that, you know, that almost all the episodes online right now are only triple digit episodes, which is nuts. Make sure to go to operationcubicle.net. You can also go to Twitter at Operation Cube, tweet us there. Go to facebook.com/Operation Cubicle. And speaking of those, actually, we have some feedback on the Twitter sphere. So we have feedback from Malik, who is part of the Agents of Helm podcast, and he basically said that like he was listening and that he's enjoyed the last few episodes. So definitely thank you, Malik, for the shout out. And I haven't seen an Agents of Helm podcast in a while, Malik. So you know, you Joe and Johanna need to get on the ball. You know what I'm saying? and like they're all based out of New York, and like they're all cool peoples. Also got some feedback from Jaquetta from the Hey You Know It podcast, who basically said that she was going on another Operation Cubicle binge because she basically saves up a bunch of episodes and then listens to them like all at once during some commute or something like that. So good luck. You know what I'm saying? I don't binge that many podcasts. Like, I feel like I usually listen to one episode and then I gotta listen to other stuff. Like, I don't, it's not like a Netflix series, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't sit down and just go through it. Also shout out to Radio Besots, who also gave us a nice shout on the Twitter sphere as well. So thank you to everybody for checking out the show. We also got tagged in a few times on International Podcast Day, which was the 30th of September. So like there were a few people that put us on that hashtag as well. So like a shout out to Bonami out of Tokens, Slovenly Gamer, Gamer Tag, Radio, Gaspod, Black Girl Nerds, all those groups. So it was definitely some nice little podcast loving and shout outs around there. And if you want to subscribe to the show, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Google Play, type in Operation Cubicle, subscribe on your podcast reader of choice. JP, how can the people find you?
They can find me at jpfairfield.com. I'm on Google Plus under the name JP Fairfield. Also on Twitter under the name at ISITIS. And I'm on a little podcast called Nagats Noir Network. And the site is nagatsnoir.net. Boom. Sparkle, sparkle.
I must say, for Nergasm, I am so happy that you guys did a Stranger Things episode.
I wasn't on an episode because I didn't watch it. So,
have you watched it since?
I have watched half of the first episode.
Oh, JP,
I know, but I'm just like, oh, white kids with problems. I don't know.
It is a little bit of that, but it's, I don't know, it appealed to my sensibility so much. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, I've loved most Netflix series. Like, I'm absolutely loving like Luke Cage now.
Yes.
I loved like Daredevil and Jessica Jones, and like the like How to Make a Murderer and like House of Cards and all that stuff. Orange is the New Black, I kind of fell off after maybe the second season. But Stranger Things, I think, is probably near my top. Just because I just love the 80s vibe. It kind of feels like those, like, John Carpenter / Steven Spielberg. Like, just it's just a weird mix of genres that I really loved about it. Like, I couldn't stop watching it, you know, which is kind of what I feel about Luke Cage since I was up till, like, 3 a.m. last night, like, watching, like, Luke Cage until I could, like, barely, like, keep my head up. And I was like, all right,
look,
I need to go to bed now.
Look, I took 2 days and watched the heck out of it. It would have been one, but then I was, like, nodding off. And I was like, I don't want to miss anything. So let me pause this. Yeah.
It's so good. I mean, I'm on, like, episode 8.
Oh my god, I can't wait till you get to 9 and 10. Oh my god.
I mean we're definitely not going to do any spoilers because it like literally like has only been out for a few days, but man, it's
like
it's so black.
It's
so unapologetically black and specifically Harlem, because you know, like, I lived in Harlem for a few years and I'm not from there, but I get like the vibe of the place. And they just nail it. Like, it just, I wonder if the show appeals more to like sort of East Coast New York area people than outside, because it just gets that whole vibe of that area. I mean, and of course things are trumped up a little bit because it's on TV, so they're going to exaggerate some things, but it just feels like I felt like I could just be walking those streets, you know, and just be like hanging out in like some of those spots and like that kind of stuff. Like, I love Luke Cage. I love it. All the characters. Like, there hasn't been any characters that I feel like so far have been like wasted or underdeveloped, really. And yeah, I just love the fact that there's so many characters of color in this show. Like I was scared that the only characters of a color would be like a Luke Cage and a Misty Knight, and they'd basically be surrounded by a bunch of like other white cops and white, you know, councilmen and all that stuff. But like, so far they got like black councilwoman, black gangster, black hero, black internal affairs woman, you know what I'm saying? Like all of like the associates of the antagonists are like black. You know, it just feels so good to watch. And I can't wait for the upcoming, there's got to be a Nerdgasm episode on this that's going to be in the future, I hope, because this show is awesome. And with that, y'all, let us go into our musical break, and we'll be back with the talking about the feeling algorithm. Once again, it's Operation Cubicle, Asian Jackson, and JP Fairfield. See y'all soon.
Welcome to the outrageous, contagious style for Mr. Lift that amazes. Melts down polar caps with solar wraps. When I drop hits, your shoulder snaps. For 8 weeks, you're doing that sling thing, cause I was doing my Emperor Ming thing. Merciless, flowing horses like Perseus. First, we just analyze the man. Smaller physical form, but grand. Mic removed from the mic stand, now located in my right hand. Here's my plan, overstand. First, I unleash my rage on the stage. Off the top of the dome, fuck the written page. Then engage in telekinesis thesis, which verbally rips your bitch ass squad to pieces. I'm cold, the world freezes. In the ice ages, my mission was to ice ages. In head-to-head mental combat, 3-2-1 contact. Where's the motherfucking combat? Intellect slashes and leaves gashes. The rhyme smashes. This one in particular with no catches. After several mismatches, with comp had very few chances. The guard advances to the medieval times to jig MCs with lances. In present time, my eyes met on a few glances and threw niggas into deep trances. Blew up R&B and JoJo's dances, Santa and motherfucking Prancer. In victory, my flow found the answer to cancer and freed niggas from projects, trench town to Atlanta. Talk of being fatter is senseless data and useless chatter that leads to another well-done rapper served on a platter. On Jeffrey Dahmer Day, my favorite holiday, served lukewarm with sauce, yeah, hollandaise. All up now, easy, easy, easy. You know they're not ready for that.
Come again!
Suppose this was a whole different time. Suppose this was a whole different rhyme. I would come out on some real ill shit, grab the microphone and then start to kill shit. I'm ill with this whole rap format, ripping niggas up at their doormat. Get off the stage, you just tore that. You moved a sword at, you juggle a vein, I'll gnaw that. Police showed up and asked where the guard at. What they discover, enters the Colossus tape cover, right next to the fake brother. Now take cover, cause I'm about to take flight. Bombed on and break night with the type of ill shit that you can feel. Just give me the steel, I heat up the stage and flesh peel and bubble. Society crumble, infrastructure puncture, no survivor. Sharp rhymes flip and clip the moral fiber. Who's liver? Hostile takeover, my maneuver, Hans Gruber, Babylon terrorist, nemesis, vocal apocalypse, a billion degrees of unbearable, unescapable revolution due to lack of mental evolution. Rugged solution, killed like industrial pollution, melt down minds and stagnate the confusion. Step to this man, contusion. It's the final conflict. And look, Lord, the wicked man's losing. There's no illusion. I can feel that you're improving. You got the data, keep moving.
Get up on myself. myself looking at the clock, hoping for the day to fly by. So I ask myself why I'm doing this remedial work for second graders. I'm an educator with mega flavor, so maybe I should just jump up and get ill. Maybe I should let these people know they're being killed. Maybe I should try my very best to chill and get paid, cause I gotta pay bills.
Hey people, welcome back to Operation Cubicle, episode 161, The Feeling Algorithm. Agent Jackson and JP Fairfield here. And I guess we should probably talk about what the hell the feeling algorithm is, because I just noticed in the intro I didn't really explain what it meant, and people are probably like, what the hell is the topic of this show? So the title of the article that we'll be talking about this show is from The Atlantic, and it's called The Algorithms That Tell Bosses How Employees Are Feeling. And then the subheading is Sentiment Analysis Software Can Help Companies Figure Out What's Bothering Workers or What They're Excited About. So this is really talking about, you know, using technology to help bosses, you know, kind of gauge what people feel about things in the office, which is pretty nuts. So I wanted to start. Are you familiar with like sentiment analysis software at all?
Not really. Maybe. Yeah, no. Okay. I was trying to see if like maybe I heard of it in another way, but.
Yeah. I don't know how much it would cross over into the kind of work that you do, but like I know that in terms of like of data analysis and stuff, it's basically programs and software that you would run that can tell how people feel about a brand. So like a easy example is that, you know, like some company will like say, we have this like software. Like if you're, you know, selling, you know, a product, we can crawl Twitter and social media, and we can rank mentions of your product as like positive or negative. And then we can like say, you know, this percentage of this sample size is positive about the product, you know. So like they have all kind of like keywords in there to be able to tell if like somebody is like making fun of you or if they actually like it. So it's supposed to be a better way than just counting like the number of impressions, you know, because sometimes people just log on and mention something to make fun of it, you know. So like it's supposed to be able to say these are the good ones. You know, now I kind of debate if it really works or not. But, you know, it like is something that is like its own industry and definitely, you know, makes like billions of dollars like a year from these different companies that sell like these sentiment analysis packages to companies that, you know, are like selling like a product to people who want to gauge it. So, yeah, I just wanted to give that definition because that's kind of like the background of this entire kind of the article, right? So like it had, so like sentiment analysis in general had its background in like the 2000s, in like the mid 2000s. The purpose of this article is that it's saying that like a lot of big companies like Accenture, Intel, IBM, and Twitter, that they're basically using this to understand how people feel about their jobs. You know, so this is kind of another way like that kind of opposes like those big company surveys. So like if you work at a big company, like you'll probably get either once or like twice a year, like this company wide survey that has these weird questions like, you know, like I feel comfortable doing my job at work. And then you rank it from 1 to 5, where it'll say like, you know, I have the tools necessary to do my job, or I feel like I have a best friend at work, or like that kind of stuff. Have like you ever done like one of those like a big company wide like surveys?
Yeah, and it irritates me every single time.
I know, don't they suck?
I'm just like, how many ways can I say I don't care? Neither way.
Like, yeah. And I just feel like it's like, I don't feel like people are going to be honest on them.
No.
like you're taking a survey, like even though they're anonymous and all that stuff, like you're taking a work survey, like you're just gonna go through the motions, really, you know, and just be like, yeah, I'm done. Because these surveys are long, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not like short little things you could do, like, you know, just like over a couple of minutes. Like, they're usually like, it's like filling out a performance like review, you know, or something like that. So what they say is that one thing that like Twitter did is that they, instead of like doing like those huge ones, they basically did a much smaller survey that's almost all open-ended kind of questions, so it doesn't have like the stupid rankings. And then they use one of these like sentiment analysis tools to like sort of crawl through all the open-ended answers and use that to like say, you know, that this percentage of people are good, are like happy, this percentage of like people are, you know, are like content, but you know, and like that kind of stuff. Obviously they don't tell you exactly how the software works, because obviously that's, you know, what these companies paid to like protect, you know, like the proprietary information, but it's really interesting. I mean, would you prefer like a smaller survey with more open-ended questions to it, or like do you like kind of like the ranking part of it that you usually have on these surveys?
I'd rather do the ranking part, because if it's open question, I'm gonna be even more irritated. I'm gonna give you one word answers or the shortest answer as possible. I just don't like doing surveys. Maybe it'll be better if I had a survey where I can talk to it, like it records my answers, but I know that's, you know, it's gonna be hard to do that anonymously. But I really just don't like doing surveys.
Yeah. Now the one advantage in the Twitter situation is that they mentioned that this new survey, they only send to 1/6 of their workforce. Right. So like less than 20% of people are getting this survey. So it's annoying, but you might not get it. You know what I'm saying? So you might actually go through a year without getting it. Technically, you'd probably only get it once every 5 years. You know, and I think if you're staying at a place, I'd probably prefer that, because I don't want to do it every year. Just like tell me 1 year, you know, I'll go through all the effort of writing good open-ended answers if I know I only do it once every 5 years. You know, with my luck, I'll probably beat the odds and do it like 3 years in a row or something like that, and then be pissed. But you know. I'm more about like the open-ended questions, you know. One thing that IBM talks about is they basically have like a forum. So they set up kind of like a social media kind of, you know, like those internal like social media things where you can like post stuff and share updates, which is usually crappy. Like I did it at like a previous job. It was on like Jabber was the name of the software, and it sucked. I mean, it was super slow, and we were like discouraged from posting anything personal. So it had to be like go into a meeting like this, you know, like we couldn't even say like, hey, I'm running in this race, you know, can you support me? Like, I remember there was a post that was like kind of like that, and it got like deleted because it wasn't like about like a meeting or a PowerPoint. Have like you ever had like these internal kind of social media things at like any jobs that you've been at?
They probably have some, but I probably don't pay attention. I know, like, you know, my company has social media accounts for, you know, the company overall and certain, you know, parts of the company, but I honestly don't pay attention to it.
Okay. No. If you have the luxury not to, that's awesome. But like the way that like it was set up in one of my companies that I worked at, it wasn't quite mandatory, But it was something that was like on your intranet page every day. So like when you logged on, like that was the first thing that you saw. In every meeting, they like really strongly encourage you to like do that. And like the CEO would like post things to it. And, you know, so it would like be like a version of those town halls or whatever, where they would do the meetings and that kind of stuff.
So we had like a internal version where you can kind of have a social media. And then they had outside, like external social media, like on Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that. And they was more trying to push us to go to the internal one than mostly that I can remember. It wasn't really, you know, mentioned a lot about the external one unless they was doing like something in the media, something big event, when they doing like a press release or something like that. But other than that, they tried to steer us towards the internal one, and I was just like, we got Skype, why?
You were like, get with it, we have a solution already. So I'm trying to shove this new thing down our throats, you know. So this IBM platform called Connections, which is a horrible name. So they describe it as a mix of Facebook, Dropbox, and Wikipedia. So you can set up wikis to collaborate on events, and like you can do postings on the Facebook, and you can share files. And basically in the background of that, they have this engine that like crawls all the contributions. And again, they use their whatever logic to say, hey, you know, these people are posting positive posts and sharing these files, so yay for the company. These people are, you know, not really sharing much, you know, boo for the company. And they kind of like present that stuff. I feel like that stuff has such a limited use, though. I mean, I kind of wonder what good value they can get out of that, because I doubt people are going to be on these internal things like shit talking the company, because it's like monitored and everything like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, well, actually, let me correct that, because I will say that at a lot of companies that I've been to that have like an instant messaging platform, like Link or like something like that, people will definitely talk shit about the company, even though they know it's being tracked. You know what I'm saying? Which always kind of boggles my mind. But I've had people send me some messages which either are like super vulgar, or like they're just like saying something about like their boss or something like that, and I'm like, yeah, I know that like this shit is being backed up, right? Like I get it. Like I know that IT isn't sitting there reading every message, but the fact is that they could, and if there was ever any audit or something like that, you know, or like some incident happened and they needed to go through all the records, like it'd be there, you know. So yeah, have like you ever had like anybody like kind of send you like really questionable stuff over company email or like instant messenger or like anything like that?
Yeah, and I promptly ignored it because I'm like, no, this doesn't seem right. Delete.
Yeah, no, it's like I don't even want to reply to it. Like I don't even want to make it seem like I agree with it. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like as usually one of the few black people in the office, like they'll be like, oh, you're out because you're promoting this like kind of thing. You know?
Yeah, I don't even deal with it. Like it if someone sends me something that's a bit distasteful, I like, this ends with me, delete. I'm not passing this on anywhere.
Yeah. And yeah, I also wanted to, I believe I said Jabber as the social networking thing. I meant Yammer.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I meant Yammer.
Yeah, I think they tried to do Yammer also, and I was just like, we got Skype, dude. I'm like, I'm not going to go, like, it's not like it's connected to our Skype. We had to go to a certain page, and then it's too much work. Skype is right here. Let me just search for the person I want to talk to.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but you know, you are not embracing the new technologies. Like, you're not like those like CTOs or CIOs that always want to spend billions of dollars on the next hot thing, you know, and shove it down employees' throats.
I mean, it's fine if, you know, they want to try it out, but I hate when they try to kind of force you towards it. And I'm just like, if you're forcing us towards it, you're not getting a good measure of engagement. You know, like, you're going to have people who's going to do the minimum necessary to get you to leave them the hell alone and then call it a day.
Yep. I agree 100%. Yeah. So like later in the article, there's a paragraph that basically sums up like my whole issue with this is, and I'll read the paragraph. It says, broadening the scope of data gathering from surveys and reviews to social media posts risks invading employees' privacy. That's why IBM restricts its data mining to posts and comments that are shared with the entire company and doesn't touch emails, chats, or interactions in private groups. First of all, I don't believe that shit. Like, when you log on to when you log on to a company network, those things that they make you sign at the beginning of a job, plus there's usually a message when you log on, they track everything. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I feel like that there's no way that they can't be looking at emails, you know, or chats. I mean, maybe Microsoft, you know, maybe IBM is different, but I feel like at like other companies that I've been to, they're definitely looking at all that stuff, you know. And then the other part that is that, you know, these are algorithms, right? And they're trying to tease out the nuance of natural language and of human feeling. I mean, somebody might say, like, this product is shit, and then somebody says, yo, this product is the shit. Like, the algorithm might say that both of those are bad, like, you know? Because they have no sense of, you know, tone or sarcasm or those kind of things. I mean, you can try to program those things all you want, you know, but I feel like we're not at that level yet where we can really, really tell if like somebody is using some slang or they're just being like sarcastic, like, yeah, like this product's great. Like, when you read that as text, like, you don't get that sense of what it's saying. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about how it says that like they did this like research project on a bunch of like emails by these developers, and it basically said that like they had a accuracy rate of 30%, meaning that the sentiment analysis software tried to predict each email as like a positive or a negative. It was only right like 30% of the time, basically.
Right.
You know, and yeah, that's what I would expect, you know. Like, I just don't, you know, even in like, just I think of every sci-fi movie ever or like every TV show ever from, you know, 2001 A Space Odyssey to like Star Trek. There's always some kind of AI or robot that's struggling to understand human emotion or human sayings, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how the fuck is some algorithm you buy from a consultant going to be the one thing that magically understands that?
It rarely does. Like, it's, and you have to keep on improving the algorithm over and over again because it's going to miss really nuanced things in the human language. So,
yeah. But the problem is, I feel like when these companies are selling these products, just like when companies are selling, you know, all these products that they sell that are like, you know, this will save your organization, this will help you improve this, this will, like, you know, like, there's all kind of stuff that, like, you know, because like I work as like a business analyst or like a data analyst, so I usually get calls from all these companies like, yeah, we have this tool that'll graph everything and, you know, and you'll never have to use Excel again, and it'll take all your data and give you report, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, there's all kind of stuff that they always oversell. And I'm really worried that this is one of those things that not only does it oversell, but it breaks into some privacy things that, again, like I said before, you should know that they're tracking everything. But at the same time, I feel like the ethics of a company should realize that people might not do that, and they shouldn't be taking advantage of that, you know. I just think that this technology is, you know, it's just too early, and they should say that. Like, they shouldn't be trying to sell these as like miracle drugs or gonna like automatically make you test the sentiment of anything, everything in your company, you know. And they actually talk about like how IBM has this 3-year-old software called Social Pulse, and that what they do is the like AI algorithm is really a first pass at it. Then they have a team of like analysts actually look at it and make sure that it's right, and then they pass it off. I think something like that works, you know what I'm saying? Because that's actually making sure that like people can like look at it and like say, oh yeah, this makes sense, and like this wasn't like somebody being sarcastic or somebody like doing this. So I feel like that's probably the best way to like do it. What do you think? Do you think that like it's better to like not use it at all, to like depend on it kind of completely, or like kind of have like this human algorithm kind of hybrid like solution to
do that? It might be better for a hybrid, at least until we get better with the algorithms, because it's never going to be 100% perfect.
Yeah, that's the most amazing thing to me. I'm like, yo, Data from Star Trek could not understand human emotion after years. Like, your fancy algorithm is not going to be able to tell me exactly who's happy about something. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're sending Data, like in Data as in the android from Star Trek: The Next Generation. Like, unless you're sending Data into people's companies to talk to people, then maybe I'll understand it. But just some piece of code that's like running on a computer, I'm like, nah. But I feel like a lot of, you know what I'm saying, this is really targeted toward bosses. So it's targeted toward like C-level kind of like presidents and VPs and that kind of stuff, and CEOs, and you know, they'll usually just get it and just try to get people to use it without really thinking about the technology part of it. So I really hope I don't go to a company that uses this. I feel like it's just bad news. But if you want good news, y'all, well, no, it's bad news is that the show's over. Good news is that there's more shows. If you want to go to OperationCubicle.net, check out the previous shows. At Operation Cubicle on Twitter, Operation Cubicle on Facebook, OperationCubicle@gmail.com if you want to email us, OperationCubicle.net/donate if you want to give some money to the show, help out with the web hosting costs, and iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Google Play, type in Operation Cubicle to subscribe. JP, how can the people find you?
They can find me at jpfairfield.com, or you can find me on my other podcast, Nagas Noir Network. Boom! Sparkle, sparkle.
All right. Awesome, y'all. And with that, we are out. Have a great week. We will see you on the next show. Peace.
I just can't wait to get on home, away from you, and be on the road. Turn off the TV and plug the phone, because it's 5 o'clock, and everybody's singing along. Bye-bye, bye-bye.